Now, in looking over your disciplinary record, Mr. Young, I was struck by the fact that almost out of the blue on March 23, 1971, you were written up and received a reprimand for disobeying an order while marching. Now tell me why a man like you would have gotten written up for that.
That was all a mistake on my part and the officers too. I eat every day with the guys I work with, and some of these, and I eat on the line where I'm the only black man eats on that side of the line. On this side, just the black guy. Now it's nothing that they don't separate us. That's something you do to yourselves. Nobody makes you eat like that. So I'm in line about 11:55, getting ready to go to the mess hall, and the officer says, now this is a new officer, he says, get over there in that line. I says, what? I says, get over there with the rest of them. Oh, my nose is open. The thing is, when he said get over there with the rest of them, and the other line opposite me, I'll say there was 15 or 16 blacks, and they heard him. And they started, just like that, they started. So what is he talking about? You know what the words they use. So I said, be quiet. I said, I'll handle this. I said, listen. I said, I've eaten right here with these men for 2 years. I said, I'm going to eat there today, and I'm going to eat there tomorrow. I said, now, I'm not going to move, and you ain't going to move me. And I said, let's forget about it. Now, you do what you please about it. I said, now, you do this what you please about it. So I went to mess hall. I came back. I was key blocked that afternoon. Next morning, I went to court. Now, I'll tell you this, in all fairness to the officer, this officer thought that is the way it was supposed to be. This is no prejudice officer. He's a young guy, and he ain't prejudiced. And today, me and him are friends. But this guy thought that this black guy was supposed to eat over there, and he just told me to get up with the black guys. Never thinking. Country, big old country boy, you know. That's the fact. I mean, he wasn't prejudiced. He just didn't know.
Now, you went to court, and what happened when you went to court?
Well, I went to court, and so they asked me to explain it. When I explained it just how it was, I didn't know. Lieutenant Maroney was there, and PK, I think, was Mr. Bergen, and they had a representative from the service unit. And I told him, I said, I was mad as hell. I said, I'm not going to tell you I was mad. He said, I was mad. But I see if I got any madder, there was 8 or 10 of them young guys, all they wanted to do. Now, this man had talked to me like that, and their nose was open. I'm glad he talked to me instead of one of those young guys.
Now, what do you think would have happened if this officer had told one of the younger inmates that he couldn't stand in line with white inmates?
I don't know. Depends on the individual. Depends on how he was that day. If he'd have got a letter from home the night before and saying his wife had been pregnant and he'd been in jail 3 years, I don't know what he would have did. I mean, these things happen every day. These happen to us. We know what happens. They expect us to be every day the same. I seen a guy, his mother died. His mother died in Mississippi. Well, you can't go out of state. And he was the only kid in the family. And I know he come and said, Boosie, what can I do? I said, go see the chaplain. I just talked to him. He said, what are you going to do? The next morning, this man lined up. We line up every morning. The first thing to do is hit the stick. Line up. Get in pairs. Be quiet. That's the first thing you hear when you come out your cell in the morning. And this guy, now the officer don't know this guy's. So he don't feel like getting lined up. He's bugged up to start with. He's not bugged up at the officer. He just, in general, you understand what I mean? And the guy says, man, go to hell. I don't feel like it. And that's just what he felt like. Boom, he's locked up all the way. I mean, you thought he killed somebody. The way he was treated when he told that officer to go to hell. And he would have been anybody. He'd have told me to go to hell. It wasn't nothing to do with the officer. It wasn't, just at the time, he didn't care about it.
Now, Mr. Young, you're what's considered a good inmate. What is considered a bad inmate? What makes a bad inmate in the eyes of the institution?
What makes in the eyes of the institution? Well,
what turns?
You can't think. You're not a man. You can't think. They tell you when to get up in the morning, when to go to chow, when to go to sleep at night, when to go to movies, when to go to yard, when to come back from yard. I have a job where I use a slide rule every day. I use a typewriter. I use an adding machine every day. It's the best thing that can happen to me because it keeps my mind alert. But can you imagine year in and year out where an adult can't think? Can you imagine you not being able to think? Oh, just express an opinion. You know, the first thing they say is, I don't want to hear it. When you got an opinion, I don't want to hear it. I'm a man. I committed a crime, but I'm a man. And I'll be a man when I leave Attica. And there's nothing they're going to do to make me not be a man. I respect myself before I ever seen them people. And that's how I can respect them people.
Now, Mr. Young, did you ever witness a correction officer hit an inmate? Or an inmate hit a correction officer?
I have never seen either. It has happened. I will say that. But I have never seen it.
Now, you've heard of these things happening, but you have never seen it.
I know they have happened on both sides.
And what about verbal abuse?
Well, verbal abuse can... Oh, you take... Listen. Guys come in from Greenhaven. Guys come in from Clinton. Now, Attica is a prison all by itself. Attica doesn't do nothing like any other prison in New York State. Now, you don't even say it does because we know. If I was in Clinton today, I could get cigars from home. I smoke cigars. I can't get them in Attica because I'm in Attica. Not because of New York State prison, because I'm in Attica. If I was in Greenhaven today, I could get cigarettes. I can't get them in Attica. I'll give you an example of what happened to me right after Easter, before Easter. I drink tea. I don't drink coffee. And my brother brings me anything I ask for, my oldest brother. So I drink tea, the tea that's, they call it iced tea mix. And I have it. It's tea and sugar and lemonade all mixed together. It's in a little plastic package. And I drink it all the time. You can't get anything in glass. Now, this is acceptable. I got it Thanksgiving. I got it Christmas. My brother brought me 18 packs of Good Friday. And you know what they told me? They had a notice in on the package room that you couldn't get that no more. On the inside of the package room. That's me. I like that. They didn't notify me. They didn't put no bulletin board or bulletin on the housing area. I just found out. My brother said, what the hell's going on? I said, be quiet. Just take care of it outside. You see what I mean? Now, this is a mental harassment. It's a mental thing. They just degrade you. You don't have to put your hands on me to degrade me.
Do they even
upset me?
Do you think that some of them even understand that they're degrading you when they do it?
I'll tell you something else. I've seen officers go down front to bat. I remember an officer in the metal shop wanted to get us showers at night. You know what they told that officer? Don't rock the boat. You got a job, just do your job. I've seen officers go down. I'm talking about this particular fella who had never had a pension, got $100. I seen his officer go right down front. He said, why don't you let the guy spend the $20? The PK down front told him to mind his own business. Now, this guy had worked with him for probably 5 or 6, 7 years. And he wanted to keep this. I mean, this is what they call a good inmate, too. But, I mean, they keep the officer, so a good officer is scared to go to bat for it. He can't go to bat for it. The man down the front will tell you what. Let me give you an example. Gideon versus Wainwright came out in 1961. And you know what happened in 1961? Everybody who had thought they had anything wrong wanted to try to help themselves. Anybody who thought they didn't have a lawyer. If they caught this man helping me with my papers, I can't write, or I can't. All I can do is tell him, this guy knows a little bit about law. They locked him up, they locked me up, and they destroyed my papers. Now, do you think any warden is going to stop a man from trying to get out of prison when he thinks he's got a legal right, a legal way to get out of prison? In 1967, the Supreme Court of the United States says any inmate can help another inmate prepare his papers. You know what that warden of Attica told us? I run this place, not the United States. 2 years ago, we were allowed to help each other. 3 years after the decision came out in the United States Supreme Court, another inmate was allowed to help another inmate prepare a legal redress. But the warden Alex, as long as I'm running it, I run it. The hell with the Supreme Court of the United States. Do you think that's harassment? It's not a physical thing. But a man says, these people are running me crazy.
Have you ever heard racial epithets by inmates or correction officers directed toward one another? There was one incident that you told me about in your presence of a correction officer.
Well, this happened after the riot. I was going by. Well, see, like you say, I'm a good inmate, so I have a pass. I don't have to go out to the prison with an officer. I can go by myself because I'm a clerk, I have a pass. Well, I happen to go by this group of officers. And I heard him say, these damn niggas. I stopped right there and I turned around. I said, what did you say? I walked right over to 7 officers standing together in A block. I said, what did you say? I said, if you ever say it again, I'm going to have you in front of the warden. Nobody said nothing. I said, if I ever hear it again, I'm going to have you in front of the warden. And my nose is open. I walked right over to him. I know the one who did it. One of the men who said that is one of the men I said is a racist. Well, there we got it. That's just one of the things. But I'll tell you something else. You take it right now. If I was a good right now, today you got a package list, just like right now. We're allowed 15 pounds of food a month. I can get a chicken 5 times a year or ham on a holiday. Now, why, if my people can afford to give me a package, what difference does it make if it's 18 or 20 or 22 pounds? Don't you think that is a morale booster right there by itself? We've asked for it I don't know how many times. They don't care. It's 15 pounds, that's all. You get chicken 5 times a year. Now, I'll show you an example of how they do it. I asked my brother about 5 years ago to bring me 6 pair of shorts, 6 t-shirts, and 2 pair of pajamas. And I'm fortunate enough, all I gotta do is tell him he brings it. So on a Saturday when he comes to visit, he brought me 6 shorts, 6 t-shirts, and 2 pair of pajamas. Now, 3 of my pair of shorts were brown, and 3 of my pair of shorts were blue. One of my pajamas was brown, and one of them was blue. Do you know I could not have those 3 pair of shorts and that pajama because I violated security by having blue underwear on nobody couldn't see but myself? That's a violation of security. I mean, how can you tell a grown man that he's violating security by wearing a blue pair of shorts? I mean, this is a type of juvenile attitude they treat us. They actually think that we believe that. You know why the rule was made? For harassment. And for harassment only.
And yet, despite all of these things, you, because of your different background and other factors, have been able to acclimate yourself and be what you yourself term a good inmate.
Like I said before, I'm lucky. My dad was a minister, and I had a type of home where my mother and father were happy. My dad was a minister, he liked to hunt. First time in my life I went to a football game, he took me to see Bud Howell and Cornell in 1937. He was that type of man. He was a companion. I want to give you an example of a friend of mine who I killed in the yard. I want to say, I got 2 beautiful daughters. My wife is white. I killed my father-in-law, which is a sweet white man. I think that's why I was tricked into prison, because of not the crime I committed, but what I didn't stay in my place. So the average young black guy in Attica knows me, knows I got 2 daughters. My baby daughter's picture's been in Ebony, it's been in Life magazine, and they're both beautiful children. I got to be friends with guys. Well, in the first place, like I said, I've been official on the baseball, I've been official on the football, and I've been a bridge official for 9 years. So therefore, I get over the institution a lot more than the average inmate. And I've had a pass possibly 10 years, which allowed me over the institution. Well, anyway, this kid used to call me father-in-law all the time when I got my daughters. One Sunday afternoon, we were sitting in the yard talking. We're talking about Jamestown, we're talking about how you live where you want to live, there ain't no discrimination. When I first got married, my wife is white, I lived with a white family and rented from them, and they was glad to have me. Like things that they don't even know what you're talking about. They never, and he says, you know, and I cried. He says, when I was a kid, so my mother had 5 children, and I don't think any of us had the same father. He said, I've seen my mother come in with a man and put us kids out in the hall. I was the oldest when she had a relationship. I'm 50 years old almost, and he's telling me this. And how do you think that kid can relate to some rural officer from an environment like Attica? He's never had a chance to start with. The first time he ever stole anything, he stole from a food stand that hurt his mother. He says, nah, you're older, you understand. But I mean, the kid has never probably earned $50 in a week in his life. So he, like I say, he gets arrested, and what happened? I wasn't abused by any officer. I didn't have a chip on my shoulder when I came in. Nobody had mistreated me. You take one of them kids from Bedford-Stuyvesant or somewhere, and he gets picked up. What's the first thing that happens to him? We say there is such thing as brutality, but the kid gets beat over his head. And by the time he gets old enough to come to Attica, do you think that he's going to relate to a man that don't even understand his problem at all, his background, He's never probably been to a ball game in Yankee Stadium or never seen the Giants play or nothing. He's never had nobody to take him. How can he relate to one of these people? They don't know what our problem is.
You've worn a white shirt and a tie and a suit before the prison gave you this clothing to come and testify here.
The last year I worked in the street, I earned over $7,000 working in Marlon Rockwell Ball Bearing Factory in Jamestown. That was in 1959.
Would you say there are many kids who, in Attica, who will be putting on that suit and white tie and white shirt and tie for the first time when they're dressed up for court or for an appearance before a commission such as this?
There's so many, it's just hard to even realize.
Mr. Young, you've talked about what makes a good officer, a good inmate. Are there any correction officers at Attica who you would consider to be good correction officers, even despite the great gap between their background and the background of the inmates they're dealing with?
You have some good officers, then you have some real good officers.
What makes a real good officer?
Well, let's say, for instance, like me, for instance. When I came in the shop, the officers used to talk about, how are your kids getting along? You getting any mail from home? That's the old-timers. They'd say, is everything getting all right? Now, whether he meant that or not, he might be just psyching you. But it was nice. He said, well, this guy's halfway concerned with me. You know, the officers, they don't even know what the guy's names are. Majority of them. I mean, I'll tell you, an officer is the one who listens to your problem and will attempt to do something about it. One officer will say, well, I don't want to hear it. You got an officer say something to you, you cannot even dispute him one bit. You cannot be human. You say, okay, I want so-and-so done. Don't say why. What do you mean why? Because I said so. That is a system. You're not supposed to even attempt to change the system.
Are there many officers who you would put in this category of good officers at Attica?
I'll say 95% of the officers at Attica are fairly good people.
To you?
To me? Well, an officer, these guys come from the same environment I come from. They like to go bowling, they like to fish, they like to hunt. And a lot of these kids from New York City don't even know what you're talking about when you talk things like that.
You can converse with them.
I like to bowl, I like to fish, I like to hunt.
You're on a first-name basis with some officers, aren't you?
Well, that depends on who's around. If the PK is around, he's...
Privately, when the PK and nobody else is around, you call a number of officers by their first name, they call you.
Everybody called me Boots. Everybody in the place.
And
Boots.
Boots. Do you get along, for example, with the officer for whom you now work?
Like I told you, I get along with every officer in Attica. The ones I know are no good, I avoid. And I know how to avoid them. And that's only two or three officers I know in the place that I do avoid, and the whole of all the officers.
Now, Mr. Young, I'd like to ask you just one last set of questions. You are in on a sentence where if you had been convicted more recently, you would have been eligible for parole several years ago.
Yes.
You're now, because you were convicted under the old law, entered a plea under the old law, you're not eligible to meet the parole board until when?
8 more years.
How many other inmates are there in this same situation as you at Attica, as you've talked to them? A number?
I'll say with a minimum of 350. And that's
Now, Mr. Young, you've heard that various committees, including the committee of Hugh Jones, which Senator Dunn is on, and other groups and correction officers have advocated that the law be changed so that you would have this, you and the other inmates would have the same eligibility date for parole as under the new law. And no action has yet been taken on it. How do you, and the others in your situation feel about that?
Well, 95% of us live in hopes that it will be enacted. We write our people, we tell our people to write them. We know there's a big inequity. We know it's wrong. We know it's wrong for me. In the first place, I did wrong to be an addict, and I'm an adult. But is there a degree of wrongness? I mean, is there, what I did 12 years ago, and I got 30 to life for, and the same crime a man commits today, which I'm not justifying anybody committing any crime, but why should he get half as much time as I got? We're both Americans, we're both citizens of New York State. I mean, it's such a frustrating thing. Guys talk about it. I mean, why?
I have no more questions. Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Young, yes, as I think you've been advised, you have an opportunity, if you wish, to make a statement to the Commission and to the public during the course of this, but not in response to a specific question. If you wish to do that now or at the conclusion of any questions put by members of the Commission, we'll be glad to receive it.
Any way you want to work, Mr. Harley,
right.
Me.
Let me find out what questions there are. I think Mr. Hinnicks has a question, and Mr. Rothschild, and perhaps others.
I really only have one question to ask you. I could say this much, though I think I should say it in all fairness and all honesty. When I read on the list of people who were going to come before us today, and the way that you describe here perspectives of older black inmate in prison, I expected an entirely different type of personality to be, and I feel very good about the fact that you are very objective, and I think very realistic in the way you see things, having, you know, been in this type of situation myself. But I have got a question to ask you, Mr. Young, and that question is in reference to harassment. And this has to do with now and certain changes, and one in particular change that gives me a great deal of discomfort is, and you being able to travel throughout the institution, how do you feel about the fact that gun towers are now being installed around the recreation area?
I've been in the yard once. I don't think I'll ever go again.
Thank you.
Mr. Rothschild.
Mr. Young, you talked about the problems of the young inmates and the younger guards, the clash of two societies that understand each other not, and its results on the frustrations and the dehumanizing that it does. I just wanted to ask you from your perspective, which, as Mr. Hinnicks said, is remarkably broad, I think. Do you think that dehumanizing and that difficulty and that frustration is probably as difficult for the young officers in many ways as it is for the young inmates? They obviously occupy different roles.
I think it's quite difficult for the young officer. He's clashing with a different culture. He's clashing with something he can't comprehend. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't live a part of something people have never really lived or went to school around attic with a black person in their life. That is a white community that's been running that prison ever since it was there. There's father and brother and uncle, which I don't say is bad because they're aware. But I don't think they will ever be enlightened or broadened. The dogma is there. We did this 25 years ago, and my father did this 30 years ago. I'm going to do the same thing. No, well, I'm 50 years old, and there's no way in the world you're going to treat a kid come out of Brooklyn-Stuyvesant like you do me. And don't think you're going to do it. Just forget it. He's been beaten. He's been hungry. He probably come out of never had a father in his life, and you're going to treat him like you do me? You can forget the whole thing, because if you do keep it out, you'll have another Attica somewhere. And that's what all of us, I think, are trying to prevent. I lost a lot of good friends in that yard. And I don't think it should have happened. If things had been different, it wouldn't have happened. But when you're frustrated, can you imagine? You don't know what it is like every day. My cell had been closing every day for 12 years at 4:30. Every day, 4:30. Monday, Tuesday, week in and week, every day. For 12 years, I sit there in that cell. Sometimes I feel like reading. Sometimes, I mean, and it's not that nobody has bothered me, but do you know the frustration I'm going through when I'm a good inmate? Just being incarcerated. Incarceration is hell. I don't care what anybody says. You don't have to be harassed to hate the kind of living conditions you're under. Can you imagine that sometimes I just wake up in the morning, like in summertime, and I say, I wonder what them two kids are wind up doing today. I just like taking fishing. We like to go moving with fishing. They even bait their own hooks of girls, put men on them. I mean, the little things. And this officer don't know what's on my mind. And I'm supposed to be the same inmate day in and day out and day in and day out. You know what made me a beautiful inmate? In 1962, in Roswell Memorial Hospital, an officer I went up on the fifth floor. And they had a children's ward on the fifth floor of Roswell. And these kids were all in this ward. There was Puerto Rican kids, black kids, and most of them were white. And the nurse told me this. I said, isn't that a pity? Not a one of them will live to go home. Now, I had two little babies in the street. From that day to this day, nobody ever heard me complain about nothing. But that's just my personal outlook. I mean, them kids had never had a shot, just like some of these kids in Attica. They never had a chance.
Mr. Young, do you wish to make a statement to the commission?
What have I been doing?
you've made a statement. We understand. Thank you very much for being with us today. We appreciate your attendance.
I appreciate your listening. I do. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Stay there.